Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, here to talk about UNLV's second consecutive defeat, 68-62 at the hands of the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos. Ugly night at the Thomas and Mack Center. A stat sheet that is honestly all over the map. We're going to get to all of it, hopefully. But, you know, Ray, where do we start here? You know, look, the sky's not falling, so people need to come in off the ledge really quick. UNLV likely going to drop itself out of the top 25 with this loss, but that honestly not a huge deal. 9-2, they got Southern Utah on Saturday, who they should beat, and who now maybe they're going to need to throttle to just get some of that that confidence back after this one.
I would agree with you, especially with K-State, you know, coming up on the schedule, a game where, you know, you could make up for a game like tonight. UNLV, bottom line, bad performance, weren't hitting the shots. Santa Barbara, who's a lot better than I thought they were.
Mm-hmm. NCAA tournament team from last year with all five starters back and 2 6'5" wings who can make you pay.
Yeah, and they, you know, they hit 50% of their shots, 9-19 from three, and they jumped on UNLV early, and UNLV, give them credit, they came back, but when it was all said and done, you can't go 18 of 62 from the field and expect a win. If they hit one or two of those shots, they probably pull it out, and it's another, you know, hey, we were exposed, but we prevailed, and let's get to work and try to fix these things. You're right, the sky's not falling, though.
This was one of the worst shooting performances for UNLV that we've seen in a while. 18 of 62, that's 29%. Their previous low this season, I believe, was about 46 or 47. So, I mean, this is quite a – I bet you could probably call this an anomaly. But you're right, UC Santa Barbara started the game hot. Nunnally and Orlando Johnson, the two 6'5 wings we talked about at the end of the night, combined for 35 points and 22 rebounds. But, you know, the biggest problem for UNLV early was attacking that zone defense. You know, I know we've seen UNLV struggle against the zone left and right this season. They're obviously going to see a lot of it as the year wears on. UC Santa Barbara, that's what they play. They're a 1-3-1 zone team. Coach Bob Williams after the game even said, we don't man anybody. So UNLV knew what it was preparing for, that 1-3-1 matchup zone, and really in the first half it threw them for a loop. And you know, you really thought that when they went on that 12-0 run to close the first half, the 2-and-1 plays by Quintrell and Derek Jasper on the same trip down the floor, 30-30 at halftime, they were going to turn the corner. They came out hot in the second half, got a 5-point lead, and then gave up two wide open threes to Joyner, and from there they were playing catch up.
They were, and you've got to guard the perimeter better. Anybody could hit a three that wide open, even probably me on a good day. Not a normal day, but probably a –
today you hit a couple.
I hit a couple today.
This morning, yeah.
Lucky one banked in, but
– it didn't count.
Yeah, but you got to guard the perimeter a little better. And UNLV, you were talking getting used to the zone there in the first half. I thought that, you know, they got back into that trap where they just had, you know, four guys around the perimeter and one guy would drive and kick out two guys still on the perimeter. And their whole offense was, well, who could we get open to maybe shoot that long range shot? And obviously, formula for disaster. You know, I like some of the set plays they had. You know, yeah. when they were able to run the few alley oops to Derek Jasper, a great play. Any time where you get the ball in the paint is a good thing.
They installed a couple of plays against that zone yesterday in practice, and that alley-oop play was definitely one of them. And you saw them try to run it about 4 or 5 times tonight. But, yeah, it took a little while for them to get them going because in the first half there was a lot of that standing around that we saw on Saturday at Louisville. And, you know, Wednesday night, not as much of it in the second half. And you know, look, UCSB was basically saying you're not going to score inside on us. You're going to have to score from the outside. They dared UNLV to shoot from the outside. And, you know, UNLV just couldn't comply. They had chances in the closing minutes to tie it. Chase Stanback missed one in the corner that would have been huge. He was 3 of 10 from 3. Not a good shooting night. And really, you know, at the end of the day, there were a lot of sloppy things about this game. You know, UNLV forced 25 turnovers, but committed 17 of their own. You know, UNLV had 24 offensive rebounds, which is massive. 20 of 34 from the free throw line is terrible. But at the end of the night, I think the biggest culprit here, just just poor shooting. Hit some open shots, and you could have broken UCSB's will a little bit.
I like that 20 of 34 from the line, because a lot of those misses were front ends of one-on-ones with, I guess, under 10 minutes to play, where if they convert that, it's probably a different game. Mm-hmm. And, you're going to have off-night shooting, but when you're that reliant on the three-pointer, I know we talked, there was that day when the prize three-point streak almost didn't continue, and how, maybe if it didn't continue, it'd be a good thing because they were scoring other ways. It was a game where they were up by like 25 points, but they hadn't hit a three, but they were scoring other ways. Well, now you have a game tonight where the three's not working and you can't find those other ways to score.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, is they're going to need to get more balance on offense, and they're going to have to find a way to execute. And that's, just getting the ball into the hands of somebody in a good position to score. But you don't have to be on the three-point arc to do it. Some things that stood out for me, Trevon Wills back in the starting lineup. That was the story earlier in the week. 1 of 7 for 3, 14 points, whatever it is.
Didn't shoot well, but played well. He had 7 rebounds, all offensive.
Yeah.
4 assists and 4 steals. So, the shooting wasn't good, but he played pretty well.
And Anthony Marshall, my point is, probably didn't adjust to his role off the bench too well. It was a non-factor. Didn't even realize he was out there. 0 for 5, had a few rebounds in 25 minutes, and he's such a vital part of the team. He had progressed so well earlier in the year, and I think he's going to have to get his feet wet and to figure out what his role is going to be off the bench, because he's a great, maybe their best defender.
Yeah, and it's funny because I tried to ask Lon Kruger about it after the game, and he kind of shot it down, where I said, did he just not look like himself to you? Emotionally, he really didn't. He didn't look charged up, and Kruger kind of shot it down, as I kind of expected he would, but I think Anthony, he's trying to take it like a man and adjust to the new role. I think it's going to take him a little time. That's understandable, but it's just kind of clear that it's going to take him a little while.
Yeah, and here's another quick stat. You're just looking at the box score. Every UNLV player who played had at least one steal.
Damn.
I mean, exactly.
Including 5 guys with one, but
But nonetheless, they didn't convert those, is the thing, and it just missed opportunities. Obviously, Monday morning quarterback after a loss, we could sit here all day and say, well, if this happened or if this happened, listen, it's only December. Yeah, it's a loss. Yeah, it looks ugly. Yeah, it knocks you out of the top 25. Definitely not the end of the world. Fixable mistakes. One thing I think UNLV's done real well under Lon Kruger is whenever they have a performance like this, they get back at it and they figure out how to – they don't overreact. They figure out what they did wrong. They make the changes, and then they come out the next game and it looks like a totally different team. Do you think the changes are this fixable? Do you think they're going to take that same calm approach and go out and be able to just make an adjustment here or there? Or do you think this is a bigger problem?
I think it's just they're just going to have to keep growing. They've grown. I wouldn't say they've regressed, even though a lot of people are going to want to say that. But a whole season it's one big adjustment. You have to constantly adjust throughout the season. Right now, they have to adjust to playing in zone because, look, they're going to start seeing a lot of zone the rest of the way. It's not much of a secret at this point. I think Trevon Willis is they're getting back to the thing that I want to see is tonight a lot of guys deferred to him, but they deferred to Chase Stanback too. But I want to see it get away from a point where Trevon is the guy only being looked at in the clutch. And they're starting to do a nice job of that. There were a couple of little positives to take out of this game. Quintrell Thomas didn't play a bad game, had 8 points, 4 rebounds, and only 2 fouls. There's a couple positives in there, but again, the key is just not to freak out over this because, again, if this season's told you one thing, it's that they're not going to shoot 29% in very many games, if again. So
yeah, season's a marathon. There's going to be tons of peaks and valleys. You want to make sure you're peaking in late February.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head with Quintrell. I think 3 of the last maybe 6 games, he's had a foul in the first minute and been taken out of the game. And you need that big body in there. He's your best interior player. He's not bad offensively, even though he hasn't had a chance to show that part of his arsenal. 6 offensive rebounds tonight. Definitely a step in the right direction, I think, for him. As we talked about, probably you and me in the newsroom, no confidence right now. He just needs to kind of get some confidence in himself, and that's just
he's starting to.
It's going to come with being on the court, and you can't be on the court if you're committing silly fouls. So step in the right direction. And another step in the right direction for me is they're down 12 in the first half with, 4 or 5 minutes to go maybe, and they rallied to make it 30-30.
Yeah.
And you know, Santa Barbara is Santa Barbara. Even though they're a tournament team last year, they're better than what you think. But I think just being able to rally like that in a short amount of time is a good step in the right direction. Obviously, they couldn't sustain it. Would have been nice if they could have got the win. However, just simply making the rally, if you're looking for positives, I think would be one.
Well, another step in the right direction. We can stop harping on this game, but a big step in the right direction today for the program, with a commitment from Nigel Williams-Goss. We'll close the show on this. Sophomore point guard from Finley Prep, guy who we're both pretty high on, a very mature, wise beyond his years type of point guard. UNLV gets a commitment from him that, from just talking to people, a lot of people expected this to come sooner or later. Comes now, and it's an interesting time. A lot of people are going to say, well, he committed as a sophomore, but he did it with kind of an ulterior motive that now he can start recruiting some guys around him, and most notably some of the local guys who UNLV is trying to keep here, such as Anthony Bennett over at Finley Prep. Shabazz Muhammad is much of a long shot as it may be over at Bishop Gorman. Roscoe Allen, some of those guys. So, not a total doom and gloom day for the program as a whole.
Yeah, and Nigel's a kid who's probably going to be a top 30 recruit for his class. A kid who plays, obviously Finley is at the elite of elite in terms of high school basketball. But he, in the summer, he's playing on the best AAU teams. He's traveled all around the nation playing at the top level. He's played every day in practice against like the Corey Josephs, the Nick Johnsons, what's the kid that's going to Texas, Mick
Cabongo.
Yeah. You know, he's a point guard in the summer, but yet he hasn't played point yet at Finley because he's been behind Corey and Mick.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, his knowledge and his experience, and he's what, 6'2", 6'3", only getting bigger. And I think it's a huge get for UNLV, especially if he brings some of these guys in. He and Shabazz, great friends. You know, the families are real close. Obviously, Shabazz isn't coming here, but he's in his ear. He's going to be in all the other Gorman guys' ears because he runs with some of those guys as well. You know, don't think that he's going to be the lone person out of this group of four or five that's going to commit. I think that really he could be a cornerstone to kind of get things. I mean, UNLV's always made do with transfers and guys under the radar. Mm-hmm. And now this kid is like, I'd say he's probably has got the best credentials of any recruit that Lon's going to sign.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, I was actually talking about that with some people today saying, you know, some other names are out there. Anthony Marshall was a pretty big get. Wink Adams was a top 30 guy. That he still remains probably the biggest guy Lon's gotten, but this kid's going to be right up there. And this kid could wind up having an even bigger impact on the program for everything he's going to bring intangibly and maybe some of the other guys he's going to bring with him.
Agreed.
Well, for Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room post-game edition. We'll talk to you again Saturday following the game against Southern Utah. Until then, take care.